Now we move on to our public comment session of our meeting. The procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each meeting. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. Before the speaker begins, I should mention that the tradition of the board has been to listen closely to what speakers have to say and ask questions only as necessary. I'm sure the speaker is happy to avail himself or herself outside of the board meeting for a question and answer session as appropriate. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers today, and we look forward to hearing from them. So first, I would like to call on Tony Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am on the board of directors of the Native American Guardians Association. I would like to take a moment to speak about my proposal for Native American inclusion at Fighting Illini Athletics. I have a prepared statement. It has now been an entire decade since the elimination of Chief Illiniwek as a symbol of Fighting Illini Athletics. In that 10-year span, just two proposals have emerged to hopefully fill the massive void. My proposal has absolutely nothing to do with the chief and everything to do with accurately representing the historical roots of the Fighting Illini. The Unity Celebration is a new halftime tradition that takes from the elements of an authentic Native American powwow. The problem opponents had with the chief was that he was an inauthentic appropriation of the culture. Everything I am advocating follows traditional powwow protocol and would thrust Fighting Illini athletics into the mainstream of Native American culture. In order to solve a problem, it is necessary to first define it. The problem defined is the missing Native American dance component that gave the 3-in-1 its very heartbeat and soul and gave university athletics the most thrilling tradition in all of sports. The performance I am advocating includes authentic fancy dance during the 3-in-1, as well as a flag presentation which includes the American flag, various tribal flags, and a special flag honoring the Illinois Confederated Tribes, as well as a special flag paying tribute to the University of Illinois and its commitment to inclusion and diversity. Honoring war veterans, the Native Illini tribe, and the university and its commitment to inclusion and diversity gives the Fighting Illini a proud and historically accurate identity on display at halftime. It is truly the defining three within the 3-in-1, turning what has become a flashpoint for controversy into the ultimate stage for unity. So what is the historical identity of Fighting Illini athletics? In order to discover this, it is necessary to turn to the university archives. The archives reveal a clear intention to link the term Fighting Illini to the veterans who fought in the Great War, as well as to associate the admirable qualities seen in the Native Illini tribe to Fighting Illini athletics. From the publication, What the Stadium Stands For, comes the following. The stadium will become the symbol of a new, united, fighting, aspiring tribe of Illini who know how to honor their living heroes and venerate their dead. In the 1920s, a decision was made to take on a serious identity for Fighting Illini athletics. Mascots are fine for universities who take on non-serious identities such as gophers or badgers, but is simply beneath the dignity of what the Fighting Illini was intended to represent. Can a mascot be a worthy representative of war veterans who died for their country, or the Native Illini who were forcibly removed from their native homeland? Conversely, can there be any more worthy representatives of the Fighting Illini brand than war veterans and authentic Native Americans emblematic of the original Illinois tribes? Contrary to the manufactured hysteria that Native Americans are offended by anything and everything related to the culture and sports, nothing could be further from the truth. Native American dance teams have been brought into athletic venues ranging from high school to NCAA, semi-pro and professional athletic venues to honor the culture to the unanimous applause from Natives and non-Natives alike. For the last several years, the University of Tennessee's Native American Student Association has sponsored a special halftime tribute during Native American Heritage Month, integrating local tribal singers and dancers on the field with the Pride of the Southland Band. Concerning these halftime tributes, the Native American community, the college and professional sports community, and the academic community have emphatically spoken. The way to honor First Nations people is through authentic cultural displays on the grandest stages of athletics at halftime. These honoring tributes do not involve mascots or logos and therefore violate no NCAA policy. Before you now are two possible futures. One includes a mascot which will only serve to inflame the divide. The other is to finally bring resolution on the peaceful and unifying ground that is authentic Indian powwow culture. It will result in smiles, cheering, and will inspire a sense of pride and goodwill. This is what we had with the pregame powwow organized before the homecoming game last month, culminating in a friendship dance where Native Americans and non-Natives, Illini fans and Badger fans alike, all joining hands to dance in a circle as the ultimate display of unity. Over 32 Dakota Sioux drove 14 hours from North Dakota to Champaign with the message, "The Fighting Sioux support the Fighting Illini." The only opponents of the movement toward unity will be a tiny but vocal minority who simply do not want unity, but rather to further punish our fan base. The university would be right to proclaim with great moral authority that at the flagship university of the state, which takes its very name from the Illinois Confederated Tribe, we pay tribute to our war veterans and our Native Illini tribe at halftime because that is who we are, and we are proud of the association. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henson. Our next speaker is Patrick Thompson.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Patrick Thompson. I'm the president and owner of Via Inc. We are a construction firm out of Champaign, Urbana. I am here again today to discuss the minority contracting on construction projects with the University of Illinois. I was here back in July regarding a concern. We were, as a subcontractor, we received a notice of award for a project with the university. It was a $500,000 project, and it was with road construction. Well, they backed out of the contract, which left us in a financial loss. At this point, things have still not been resolved. And so I'm here again today to, continue to express my concern about having a fair and process for us to be able to bid projects with the University of Illinois. And on January the 19th of 2017, the board instructed the administrators to make recommendations to the board within 90 days on split goals and the shelter market. To this day, there has been no recommendation. And the reason why I have been advocating for this is because we as subcontractors, minority contractors, we are, have to partner with the general contractors. And general contractors, not all, but some, they really don't want that relationship. They see us as their competitors, and it's a problem. And I can understand it's not a personal thing with them, it's a business. I'll put it this way. If the state mandated the University of Illinois to mentor a historically black college and say, okay, we want you guys to mentor this historically black college because we believe that black colleges have not been represented fairly, and we want you to share your resources, we want you to mentor them, and we want you to provide all training and resources, and you would look at that and be like, well, why would we want to do that? I mean, this can potentially put us out of business. And so when you look at it from that point, you have to understand that we as minority contractors, all we're asking to do is create a fair field for us and allow us opportunities to do work on university projects. That was the purpose of the program. That's the spirit of the program, to allow us to be able to compete. And I feel today, those things still have not happened. I mean, we only had one person on this board, and that was Mr. Montgomery that spoke out. I haven't heard any other comments from anyone else on the board. This is something that, if we're going to be talking about diversity, when we talk about diversity in the private in private businesses, you don't see it, you know, and you know, there's no overlooking it. There's no turning the other cheek, you know, saying, well, it's not happening or it's not my problem or we don't have to address it. But I see it, you know, and then if you're African-American and you're trying to be an entrepreneur and start a business, you see it. You see the barriers, you know, you see the lack of opportunities, you know, and having us, you know, construction is a hands-on type of, it has to be hands-on. It's not something that, you know, and that's the only way you can learn. And if we're not giving those opportunities as a minority contractor to be on those projects and be on university projects, then the program is not worth the paper that it's on. So, you know, that's my concern again today. And I'm hoping that we can see some movement in providing some unbundling, some shelter markets, some split goals, so that we can have some opportunities for us to start businesses and continue our business. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson.